This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
It's going to be exciting. You know, just a normal opening day for me. You know, this is where it really, you know, started. So just happened to be on the other side this time. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see the fans. I'm excited to be back home. I'm just going to enjoy it.
How much different do you feel this time this year versus this time last year overall?
I'm really aware this time. You know, I really know what's going on. I really know about the body. I really know, you know, I'm right where my feet at. So, you know, very thankful and, you know, just a blessing to be right here today.
You know those voices. I know you know those voices. Tim Anderson and Scott Merkin. That was from earlier today. And Marshall, we have an Angels lineup that's out.
We do. We have lineups for everybody that plays before 7 p.m., let's say.
We got the Sox lineup, too.
So Tim Anderson actually in this lineup playing second base and batting fifth behind Jorge Soler. And he's batting cleanup. And Mike Trout, in case you were wondering, he is in the lineup batting third.
An amazing lineup when you consider Tim Anderson and Jorge Soler. And that's kind of why we are having our next guest on. It's always good to hear from him as well. Joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is the former Score guy and play-by-play man for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim and Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV+. I only said it that way on purpose because he's official. Wayne Randazzo, good to see you. Well, hear you anyway.
Well, it would be good. It would be great to see you guys, but good to hear you anyway. And it's opening day. You know, it's a great day.
We'll see you later, but we're the ones seeing you. You just aren't seeing us in return. It's wild that the Angels of all teams open up against the White Sox here on the South Side. When you consider how many familiar names there are, we mentioned Tim Anderson, a big redemption tour for him when I consider pairing up with Ron Washington and what that partnership could bring for him. Yoan Moncada, not in the lineup today, but we know he's a part of this team as well. A lot of familiar faces. Kyle Hendricks on the team. Jorge Soler. What can you tell us about the collection of this group when it comes to what we're going to see? If you know Chicago baseball, you know a lot of this team.
Yeah, you did. When the Angels just signed Naperville's own Nicky Lopez a couple days ago, too. So he's here also. It's certainly a collection of some former Chicago stars here. And, you know, for Tim Anderson, it's an emotional day. I mean, he's able to make the big league team. He's able to be in the opening day lineup, and he's able to play on the South Side against his former team. So it's an important day for Tim. He's worked hard. You know, Ron Washington, basically, you leave your reputation at the door. He doesn't care. He just wants to see how you perform on that day. He wants to put you through the drills. He wants to see how your work ethic is. He wants to make sure you're there at 6 in the morning like everybody else. And if you are and you're doing what you're supposed to do, then you're good in Ron Washington's book. And you know, both Anderson and Moncada were brought in here to revive their careers. And Anderson will have the first opportunity today at second base. He's had a good spring. And Moncada's been in and out from a health standpoint, but he's healthy enough to be on the roster, and I'm sure you'll see him at some point this weekend too.
Yeah, the report I read said that he's will obviously be on the roster, but might not be in the lineup until Saturday, which is, I'm sure, fine compared to not being able to make it the trip with the team here to Chicago. Wayne, I want to ask you about Tim Anderson specifically. I mean, we knew he had signed with the Angels, and we didn't know how that was going to shake out. But as you said, for him to be in the opening day lineup, that's a big step for him. I know he's playing second base. Where else might we see him as far as the field goes?
I played shortstop the other day, and he looked fine. You know, he's still able to handle that position. They have Kevin Newman at shortstop today. You know, Zach Neto is their primary shortstop. He's starting the year on the IL, but he shouldn't be out for very long. Neto's the kind of guy who plays every day and really put up all-star-like numbers last year. He had a great season, hit 23 homers. He stole 30 bases, and he's a very good defensive shortstop. So that's his position, but they want to work Anderson in at second base. And until they have to make a roster move when Neto comes back, you know, it's kind of an open audition for who can be on the roster. They'll move some parts around. They'd like to have the depth because both Moncada and Luis Renjifo, who are the two third basemen, have had injury concerns in the past. So I think Anderson can keep himself on the roster if he performs well here in the first few weeks. And I don't think they question his defense at all. I think he'll be very good at second base.
Yeah, I agree with that, Wayne. I think especially him partnering with Ron Washington, who's the infield expert, the infield guru. I always liked the idea of those two working together, so it is nice to see. For me, it's the concern about Anderson's bat. You know, that was an issue here toward the end of his time here in Chicago, was whether or not he was going to have that power that he had during the years where he was earning the batting title, for example. Right center, I feel like, is his happy place on a home run. What are you looking for when it comes to trying to figure out if he's got any power left to really, you know, stay on a big league roster?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, certainly he didn't show much 2 years ago as last year with the White Sox, and last year basically nothing with Miami. So there will need to be some extra base hits in that bat. And he had a good spring. He was able to spray the ball all over the field. He still looks to go to the opposite field a lot, but he was barreling up the ball a little bit more. He did hit a home run in spring training. So I don't know if the Angels need him to hit home runs necessarily, but, you know, some driving of the ball would be good, and they'll take singles and doubles from Tim Anderson as long as he performs defensively. He's still fast. He's still got a great arm, and he's hungry to show that he can still play this game at a high level. You know, I talked to him the other day. He's been humbled by what's happened to him over the last couple of years, and he's ready to take on everybody, and he feels that there are a lot of people rooting for him across Major League Baseball, and I'm sure that's true after what he was doing as a White Sox player and being able to win the batting title and having that home run in Iowa, the Field of Dreams game. I mean, he was on his way to becoming a face of the game, and I think he at least wants to show that he can still be a respectable player.
When you look at this game, this series, I know coming in, it's not like people are picking the White Sox or the Angels to win their respective divisions. Where do you see, as far as the Angels and the White Sox, obviously having been here as a part of the score, and where they are in baseball's kind of pecking order, if you will, to start the season? And what do you see as their outlooks this season?
Well, I think in the Angels' case, you know, they're not getting a ton of respect nationally, but I think they're putting together a better roster than what they had last year. They have Kenley Jansen now closing games behind Ben Joyce, who has just got a ridiculous fastball, hit 105 miles an hour a few times last year, and he'll be the eighth inning guy ahead of Jansen. Yusei Kikuchi pitching today, had a great finish to the season last year in Houston. He's the opening day starter. They brought in Kyle Hendricks, who they believe they can get back to looking similar to how he did at least a couple of years ago when he was pitching well for the Cubs. So they've added a lot of veterans, and they have Mike Trout. And Trout has looked great in spring, and he's taking the right field well. The key to Trout's life is to be on the field. He's got to play 140 games, and if he can do that, I think the Angels can find themselves in the mix as far as a wide-open American League West. I mean, the Astros won the division last year with 88 wins, and who's to say they'll even get close to that number this year? Texas, Seattle, these are all teams that have a lot of flaws. The A's too, so I think the Angels believe that they can find themselves in the conversation for the division if they stay healthy and if things go right. They don't tend to get a lot of breaks, but if they do get a few go their way this year, then I think they believe they can be a team to look out for.
Well, Wayne, one of the things that I was impressed by, at least when it came to the Angels, is they still weren't afraid to sign veterans, like veteran names, you know. Obviously, we know a few more just because of the familiarity with the former Cubs and the former White Sox on the roster. But I don't know if that's something where Ron Washington's opinion does at least get taken into account when it comes to his willingness to work with people, or maybe it's the free agents and the veterans' willingness to work with a guy like Wash. But it is nice to see when a lot of teams don't want to sign players because guys like that are more expensive. They've got a resume. They've got big experience to their big league careers.
Well, I'll add Orange County to that list too. You know, it's a nice place to play baseball every single day. You know that there's not going to be any problems as far as weather is concerned there. So that helps the veterans. You know, Travis d'Arnaud is another, not a Chicago connection, but certainly a veteran player who's won a World Series, who will be a very nice backup catcher for Logan Ohapi, who's becoming one of the better offensive catchers in baseball. And d'Arnaud's presence, the way that he was catching in Atlanta when Ron Washington was there, when Perry Manassian was there, the general manager, it's a guy that they felt like they really needed, and they signed him pretty quickly during the offseason. You know, even from a coaching standpoint, another Chicago guy, Sal Fasano, has come in here. He was the running all the game plans in Atlanta. The Travis d'Arnaud feels like it's a huge addition to the Angels to have Sal Fasano here helping out with the strategies and game planning for these games. So they think that they have a lot of pieces that work here. And, the veterans help. Wash certainly likes having guys around who can play the game, who have shown that they know the fundamentals. The game doesn't speed up on these guys. So those are the types of players he wanted to surround this younger core with.
Veteran players, a veteran manager, and an old-school manager in Ron Washington. We were taken back with some of the rules that he's put out here. You've got a ban on cell phones in the clubhouse. Wayne, is this an old-school approach with new-school players, or because it's such a veteran-laden team, is this taken to pretty well by the players?
You know, the young players have bought in as well as anybody. You know, I think that these guys really – the Angels haven't been to the playoffs in 10 years, and they really haven't been close either. It's been a while, and they want to be the guys that break this streak and get to the postseason. They love Wash. Certainly anything Mike Trout says they will do, because Trout is a sure first-ballot Hall of Famer as we stand right now. It's something that they've bought into because they believe in the guys around them and in the success that they want to have. So it hasn't. Nobody has even turned a weird eye to it. It has been completely well received. They like it. They like being able to communicate with each other. They want to have the camaraderie in the clubhouse. And you know, they're not throwing their phones in a locker and never seeing them again. They can take a call outside or send a text to whomever. And you know, it's just as far as going up and communicating with each other that they'll ding each other for a fine. But it's something that Wash did in Texas, you know, 10, 12 years ago, certainly had a lot of success there, and the veteran players on that team helped enforce whatever rules Ron Washington wanted to have. So the success has been there, and they believe that they have the pieces in place to at least get the most out of these guys to try to compete this year.
And Wayne, I know that you travel the league with Apple TV Plus. You've got one of the Friday night game packages. So who stands out to you this year when it comes to just games you're looking forward to, or maybe a team you really want to see?
Well, you know, the headlining games, we have the Yankees and Dodgers this year again. We have the Mets playing the Dodgers as well. You know, it's always fun to go to San Diego. We have Mariners Padres in May, and I think that's going to be kind of an under-the-radar good series between two teams that both want to make their mark in their divisions. You know, anytime you go to Atlanta, you're going to see good baseball there with the Braves. You know, we have a Mets-Phillies game on the schedule. So we have a lot of good ones. You know, the National League is kind of the powerhouse league this year. You know, you look at the potential world champions, and it's hard to find one in the American League. Some teams are going to have to emerge, Boston maybe, Baltimore. But there's not a clear favorite in the American League. Meanwhile, in the National League, there are a handful of teams that you feel like can win the World Series. So it's always good to travel around with Apple, and the Friday night games are fun to do. I think we're doing Cubs-Cardinals on the 4th of July at Wrigley, so I'm definitely putting that one on my calendar.
Absolutely. Wayne Randazzo, thank you for taking the time. Have a great call for the Angels broadcast today. Happy opening day.
All right, thank you. You too.